He's a wonder in my soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right, for you got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway. Lord, give me you. I hope it's not too late. That grace, how sweet a sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found of one, but now I see it. Praise God. Praise Him, saint. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise Him, saints. Praise God. Eternal God. God of everlasting to everlasting. Oh God, we come this morning just as we are. Broken, battered, and bruised. But know you can put us back together. We come, God, because you invited us. Come unto me, those that are heavy laden and labored, and I will give you rest. Now, Lord, we lift up Sister Shamika this morning. Touch that ailing body as only you can, Lord. Waken her from her sleep right now in the name of Jesus. Straighten this family, friends, and loved ones. We ask your blessings up on Willis Knighton Hospital, doctors, nurses, and all of the caregivers. Now, Lord, we ask your blessings upon this choir who has done a marvelous job this morning, the chaperones, musicians. We thank you, Lord, for these young peoples. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all that you are allowing us to do in your name, that you are doing in us and through us. Now, Lord, thou art the potter, I am the clay. Yield and steel in thy mighty hands. Have thy own way, Lord. Just have your way. Give me preaching power that I may proclaim thy word, thy will, and thy way to thy people. In Jesus' glorious and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Reverend Houston, to Evangelist Lavallee, and to the officers and members of this church, it is just good for us to be here. Amen. I write things down and then I still forget it. And one thing in particular I didn't want to forget. Next Sunday, which is the second Sunday, we're going to bless our children that'll be going to school the 12th. We're going to be blessing our youth next Sunday, during the 11 o'clock hour, and anointing them as they prepare to go to school for this next school term, which will be that Monday. And this is something that we normally do each year before they go back to school. Also, I forgot to mention, now if you want one of the most delicious pound cakes, I mean the kind that just leave you melt in your mouth, mouth watering. After you've eaten that one, you want to call and tell her to bake you another one. See Elnora Darvin or Juanita Williams after church and put your order in. And also, they bake jelly cakes. And the jelly cake ain't a jelly cake, ain't got no jelly on it. But now, see her. Now, the jelly cake is a special order. Now. Yeah, but the pound cake, you know. But I just kind of threw that in, you know. But see those two young ladies after church, put your order in, and you will be so blessed with the taste of those cakes. Oh, man. Even if you got diabetes, just don't eat as much. Huh? I think I got it all in, Brother Brown. Oh, man. Man, Better Crock ain't got nothing on this here, man. Hey, man, so now that's one of those teams. I don't know if that's Team Love or Team Mo Love. That's Mo Love? All right, now. I didn't call the shot. Y'all called it now. But anyway, it's all for the love of God and for the church. And I just thank you for the spirit that we have radiating through this church now. Let's give this youth a great big hand of applause. I mean, they have just, Tammy, thank you so much. Angela, Anna, you all are just doing a beautiful job. Thank you so much. You know, as I was reminiscing, I was sitting in the chest. You know, when you allow people to do what they do best, everything just moves so smoothly, and you don't have to be in it. You don't have to do nothing. Just allow them to do what they do best. And I say that on top of the fact of getting those trees cut. I said, now, ain't used me saying nothing to that man about them trees. Because if he tell me $100, I'm going to give him $100 and leave it alone. I said, but I know somebody that can negotiate. And if you say $100, he's going to say, what about $50? He just have that art. Yeah. My wife is another one. She has that art. Yeah. You know, whatever. She, no, I can't pay you that. No. But anyway, I'm saying all that to say, when we allow people to do what they do best, amen, it works. Then you don't have to be hating on them. Just love them. And you'll see how smoother and how better things will work. Amen. And so I'm learning, because somebody told me a few months back to stay in my lane. And so I've been trying my best to do just that. Amen. Now, if I ain't because I ain't trying now. But I'm doing my best. I'm working on it. And so and I'm asking God to guide me in allowing people to do what they do best. Now, ain't no use to me soliciting y'all to buy no cake for me. Because if I bake that cake, you ain't going to be able to eat it. No, because I can't bake. I'm just not getting where I can do cornbread. But past cornbread, you don't want that. No, you don't want no cake I bake. It'd be a better crocker. You still ain't going to want it. So why should I be trying to bake cake? Let somebody that can do that. Ain't my name, Brother Brown. Come on. Amen. Okay. I talked enough here now. I want to lift up a thought from the 16th chapter of Acts, verse 25. Acts 16, verse 25. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. Yeah, if you don't mind, please. It's a very, we stand in the presence of the Lord. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. Book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 25, just one verse. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Now, they didn't start praying at midnight, but when midnight rolled around, they were already praying. They started praying before midnight. Were praying and singing praises or hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. May the Lord bless the hearing and do of his divine word. The prisoners were listening to them. They were listening to the prayers. They were listening to the praise. The prisoners were listening to them. I want to talk about unintentional ministry. Unintentional. Hello, Miss BJ. Reverend BJ. Ministry. Unintentional. Unplanned. Unintended. Involuntary, but yet voluntary by the Spirit of God. Amen. Not done purposely. What I'm saying is that there are opportunities we have to minister to people unintentionally. It was not our mole or goal or purpose to do this, but God presented the opportunity and likewise we accepted it. Most of the things we do for God, we do on purpose. They are intentional. They are consciously planned. But sometimes our most meaningful ministries are performed spontaneously, unconsciously. They are not planned. They just flow out of who we are and out of the lives we live. Here in the text, we see here the unintentional ministry of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, they had come to Philippi to perform one kind of ministry, but they ended up performing another. Now, it was not their intention to go to Philippi. If you read the preceding scripture, you'll see that Paul wanted to go elsewhere. He wanted to go into Asia Minor, but the Holy Spirit constrained them and would not allow them to go where they had wanted to go. But he seen a vision of a man in Macedonia say, come over. Let's help us. It was not their intention to go to Philippi. But in a vision, Paul sees a man calling for them to come to Philippi. Yes, so it's a matter of answering the call, even if it's not on your agenda. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but God's purpose always prevails. They had come to Philippi to preach the gospel, but they ended up in jail. They had come to do good, but receive only evil in return. They had come to set people free only to have their freedom taken away from them. In similar fashion, our services for God today does not always result in positive response or personal reward. But with their imprisonment came a new unexpected opportunity to minister. Now, it wasn't their intention to be in jail. Now. Wasn't they purpose to come to Philippi and go to jail?
There you go.
But it was God's purpose
because there was somebody in the jail that needed a word. And right there in the text it said, and the prisoner was listening to them. They had to hear the prayer, the praise. With their imprisonment came a new unexpected opportunity to minister. And in similar fashion, our planned ministries can open unexpected doors to unplanned ones. We may set out to do one thing, but God may have something else in mind. The Holy Spirit would not allow them, as I said, to preach the gospel in Asia Minor. He wanted them to come to Macedonia. Here we find them by the river. They made it over there praying, witnessing. And here's a woman, Lydian, unexpected ministry. They didn't go there to minister to Lydian and her family, but they are there by the beck and call of a man in a vision. And here they have the opportunity to witness to this woman in her household. And she was kind of rich, because she was a seller of purple that was used to make, purple was a symbol of a royalty in that day, and was used to dye the silk and linen purple. So she wasn't doing too bad for herself. And the Bible says that she heard Paul expounding on the word per se. And constrained them and almost like forced them, please remain with us. You can stay at my house. And you ain't got to worry about no problems occurring. Just stay with us. But we want to hear some more about this Jesus. Unintentional ministry. And we have that opportunity from time to time. But are you taking it? When it's not intended, when your purpose to do this. I've heard people say, well, you know, so-and-so needed some help this morning, but I told us, baby, I can't help you this morning because I'm on my way to church. You just left church in helping that person that's in need. You come here to refill. Get ready to go back out. Reason why Paul and Silas are in jail. This slave girl was a soothsayer, a sayer. And she made money for her master by telling fortune. And she's following you. And you got to understand this, that Satan know who you are. He know who Jesus is. And she was following him around and saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. She knew that they was telling the truth of the way of salvation, but the demonic spirits was held her back from taking advantage of the opportunity. Unintentional ministry. And Paul got annoyed. You know, that would make you annoyed. Somebody just keep following behind you saying something, even if they're saying something that's good, you know. And he cast out the demonic spirit out of her. And when the word got back to her master, they saw their fortune going down the drain. Had them arrested, beaten, and placed in jail. But Paul responded to their undeserved confinement to worship. That's another thing. You can get in serious trouble doing the work of the Lord. But you do it. You just do it. But you can get in serious trouble. When you look back at the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, did he go to all of these prestige universities around the country to come back to Montgomery, Alabama, and be the architect of the civil rights movement? That was not his intention. But it was God's intention. It was God's purpose. That's why God had him doing what he was doing to prepare him for this position. Sometimes God is preparing you for something and you don't realize what it is.
Amen.
And all you have to do, I heard it this morning, just sit back and listen.
Yes.
Be quiet.
Yes.
You know, sometimes that's how come God talks to us in a dream, because he can't get our attention during the day. So when we go to sleep, he talk. Say, I got you now. I know your mouth going to shut up for a while now.
That's right.
But instead of cussing God, crying to him, Lord, why me? Having a pity party. Like the other prisoners, no doubt, brother, they chose to pray and sing praises unto the Lord. I find myself sometimes, you know, one thing break down, oh, Lord, we're going to break down next. You know, well, that's just life.
Yes, sir.
These gadgets that we got at the house, they're going to break down sooner or later. Life's going to break down.
Yes,
sir. Mine's already breaking down. I can't move as swift as I used to, but I'm still moving, though. Thank God for that. We, too, have choices with regard how we will respond to life's unfair blows. Because that was unfair for them to go to jail. Because they hadn't done nothing wrong. We can be broken by them or boiling in resentment over them. Or we can look up and say, thank you, Jesus, for things as well as they are. For in their worship, respond to their imprisonment, they ended up performing an unintentional ministry. Well, you read the scripture, you'll see that God had sent an earthquake that had shook the jail, rocked the jail, shackles loosened. And the guard, the prison guard, just knew the cells were empty. And you know, that word midnight is in there for a reason. It was a common thought that the Roman jailers would go to sleep at midnight. They turned the lights out and closed their eyes. Because they were responsible if anybody got away, they had to finish their sentence. Yeah, so here, the jailer here holds back his knife to take his life. Paul said, do yourself no harm. For we are all here. Every last one of us. Ain't nobody left. The other prisoners couldn't leave because they were caught up in the praise.
Come on.
They were praise or do something to you, Arthur.
Yes,
they were caught up in the prayer meeting.
Come on now.
They had never been in no prayer meeting in the jailhouse.
Come on.
That's quite unusual.
Right.
You hear everybody's name called by Jesus in the jail.
Right.
But they were caught up in the praise of Paul and Silas, in the prayers of Paul and Silas. They didn't try to run.
No.
They didn't try to sneak out. They remained right where they were.
There you go.
And the jailer come tumbling, trembling, fell down at his feet. And he said, what, sir, must I do to be saved? This must have been something for this jailer awesome, an awesome experience that he had. And no doubt, I don't know how many years he had been a jailer, but he had never seen nothing like this. Earthquake. Don't open up all the cell doors. You just run. I tell you what you do. Just open up one door out there, DC-3.
Right.
See how many gonna stay?
Come on, now.
They coming out of there.
That's right.
But the Holy Ghost is in charge here.
Come on now.
And when he's in charge, he restrains you, holds you in place, and gives you direction. Here, Paul replied to them, well, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. Not only you, but your whole household. If they just believe also. Your salvation is based on your belief and who you believe in, and if it's Jesus Christ, and you believe God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Here, Paul and Silas sang because of their faith. Because Christ was with them and giving them strength. They sung because they could not help but sing. You know, I'm reminded of a kid growing up. Old people would get up in the morning singing. And their favorite song, my grandmother's favorite song, I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. I'm walking and I'm talking with my mind staying on Jesus. Things were tough back then. But those prayers and those songs, those hymns brought us through. Hard times, Brother Brown. I can remember making 50 cents an hour. Finally made up to a dollar hour. I can remember them days. Oh, yeah. Now, we living good. We living good now. Some of them making $15 an hour and don't want to go to work. They can't get a praise. We making a dollar and we couldn't get to church quick enough to praise God. Now they making big bucks. Don't want to praise him. But that's all right. And all the time, though they never dreamed it, they were serving others better than they knew. Those around them witnessed their faith and was blessed. There is an unconscious ministry of the church. To be sure, the church still needs our conscious ministries. It needs our planned giving, our planned service, our carefully planned teaching and preaching and singing. But also it needed ministry that's unplanned. And oftentimes ministry that's unplanned is more fruitful than ministry that is planned. Because it's a God who the focus is on. And a lack of conscious preparation often results in wasted and misspent resources. But if you're led by the Spirit of God, you'll be fruitful. Some of our finest and best ministries are unconscious ministries which flow from us naturally because of who we are and whose we are. People are sometimes more blessed by overhearing us than hearing us. God is able to take our songs at midnight and use them to bless others. That was an old fable that was told of this man building his cabinet in a deserted area close to a light tower. And it wasn't he built it there because of convenience or because it was a serene area, but it was built there because of what he was overhearing. For every morning at the light tower, there was a man that would begin to pray and lift up the word of God. And the echo of that sound was radiated to this man's little cabinet. Yes, sir. And it brought joy to him because he was overhearing somebody else praising God. And these prisoners were overhearing Paul and Silas praising God. And somebody every now and then after overhear you in your song that minister to their heart. That may minister to them more than what they're hearing from the pulpit.
Yeah,
just
right.
All depend on the time and the place where they are at.
Yes,
I used to say, and I was saying this because other people said, songs can't save you. Well, only Jesus can save you. Yeah. But the song may invite you or entice you to come to Jesus. Yeah. That you may hear the word of God. Sometimes you have to have something to motivate us in. All our grocery stores have a certain item on sale, kind of cheap. That's to pull you in there. That's to pull you in there. Because they know you ain't coming in there just for that bag of chips for $5. Regular, almost $7 for that bag of 28 or whatever.
That's right.
And Super One have them for $5 or $4.99. And they know you're going to come get them chips, but you're going to get something else when you leave out of there. So the song may bring them in that the word of God can get into their hearts. Our finest, and I'm about finished, sermons may be the ones we live. I used to hear someone in this church say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. Our finest songs may be the ones we sing at midnight.
Yes, sir.
The midnight hour of time in our life.
That's right.
At midnight, that word, it reflects darkness.
Yes,
it reflects unintentionalness.
All right. It's really going.